Hey everybody, I'm recording this significantly after the fact while I'm editing today's episode. So you could say that this is Editing Ryan. And as Editing Ryan, I just wanted to quickly hop in and say, sorry for the delay. Tested positive for COVID, bested positive for the bovid. And I super lost track of time while I was trying to get better. But yeah, I just want to say thanks for bearing with me, I guess. I hope this episode is good. I might sound a little bit different. It's going to be interesting hearing this playback while I'm editing again. But yeah, get ready for a interesting start to this episode where MJ talks about fan fiction for about 5 to 10 minutes. But then it picks up, I promise. I promise we're interesting. I do promise.
Over the course of the years of you guys knowing me, I have forced you, with and against your will, to watch many a different BL anime. And I have made both of you read many a different fanfic.
Oh, God.
I know. It's a great question. So here is my question, because I've talked to you about this a lot, of there are specific tropes within each ship that becomes astronomically high. The best example is Sanji and Zoro. Sanji is like a kitsune or a fox or something, and Zoro is a tiger. I don't know why, but that happens way too fucking often. So my question that I have for you two is, what is like a ship that you can think of and like a trope that is so out of left fucking field, but weirdly fits?
Bro, let me tell you.
It doesn't have to be one that is, like, already prevalent. It can be one that, like, you've been like, why does no one do this?
Why is this a common one? Because I have one that's like
both.
Yeah.
One for each.
Do you want to go first?
No, you go first. I have to think about this. Most of my fic taste is out of left field.
No, that's great. I have a very, like, one comes to mind, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And that's, I know that MJ used to read a lot of the My Hero fan fictions. And one of the ones that I heard about a lot, but I don't think you read very much of, was the Thruple, Deku.
The big three Thruple, Baku, yeah.
And Todoroki. Yeah. And I was like, that's just like a, like, I guess that's kind of a thing in the show, but it came up, like, it's like a pretty common thing. Just
it's a weirdly common and very toxic ship.
Yeah.
In my brain. I'm like, there's no way that works out well.
Problematic.
There's way too much trauma wrapped up in those children.
I mean, my thing with that.
Also, Pop Rocks for the win.
Yeah, ooh. Fair enough. But it's mostly that for me, they're all children, and I'm like, I just don't partake. That's me. I don't know.
Okay, but what about one that you're like, I wish this was more prevalent?
You wish it was more prevalent?
Yeah. Do you got any?
The thing that's coming to mind, because the brain rot for Trigun, Tri-Stamp, has been running rampant before I got into dogs. Is the Vashwood with the rosary. Wolfwood's rosary is so common, and it's also not common enough. Put it in more fics. Be more creative with it.
You guys are missing the point. This has to be like a...
It's a trope, like a dynamic trope.
AU.
Okay.
Like a weird
AU.
Because like the song,
I thought you were looking for like weird tag. Like
a weird tag is fine, but no. Like a weird tag that comes up way too often is Zoro has daddy issues, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You don't got a daddy. And I don't think he's thought about that less than Luffy has.
Luffy
just picking his nose.
I have one of those.
Like an example where I'm like, why have people not capitalized on this more? Is for the Hades and for the veg bulbs of the world, Vegeta and Bulma, there are not enough.
That's what that ship is called?
Yes.
It's awful.
I hate it.
You just go like
so much.
Bulma.
It's V-E-G-E-B-U-L. Veg bulb.
I hate it.
I like the ship name for Trunks and Goten, which is True Ten.
Which is not the same as when they fuse, which is Gotenks. Yeah, even though it's a canon thing.
Different names.
Whatever. Why don't we ruminate on them?
Okay.
And then at some point in this episode,
the example that I was going to give is there are not enough royal AUs. There's like three, like solid.
No, you know what? You're right.
For Vegeta and Bulma. And there's exactly one Zagreus and Thanatos one, and it's Zagreus is a demigod and Thanatos is just a god, and like they get married off to appease like Zeus or something. Like, and it was not great, but there's like no royal AUs. And I'm like, why? There's 1,000 for Sanji and Zoro, which makes sense.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Because like, I mean,
Sanji is a prince.
Mr. Prince, even.
Mr. Prince.
Mr.
Even.
Prince.
It's I just like how they always make Zoro a prince. Cause it's like, yeah, he just, Mihawk found a stray child.
Yeah. They put him in a little bit of gold and called him a prince.
And Mihawk was a king. And this stray child is now his. And then there's a wonderful, wonderful series by 8ball on AO3 called The Medieval AU that has Zoro just usurps the throne. I'll let you guys ruminate on this while I introduce.
No, ready? I got
mine. Oh, you got it? Oh.
Reincarnation. No, still Vashwood. Reincarnation. He's lived how long? Give me some reincarnation. Why have we not had him sad over Wolfwood in multiple, like why? Why has...
That tracks.
Why have I seen it...
They do that for, like, Matcha Blossom a lot for some reason.
Why have I seen it in Bungo Stray Dogs?
And the dogs are straying from the plot.
There is no plot. It's just bad hair, guys.
Ain't no plot.
And Dazai's true dedication to, if I go down, I take all of you with me.
I need you to understand that Dazai is his own tag on AO3, and it is Dazai is his own warning. Osamu Dazai is his own warning.
Wow.
I don't think I ever knew Dazai's first name.
Osamu Dazai. Yeah, no, they say everyone's name weird in that, and I just, I'm like, wow, I don't like this.
All right, well, welcome back to Cosplay Con Crunch, podcast by cosplayers for cosplayers and also the normies that listen in. I'm your normal host, MJ. You can find me as cosplay_Cajun, and I have my wonderful co-host as always.
I'm definitely not editing Ryan, and you can find me on Instagram as RightJoyConRye.
And we have a friend!
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Maybe the most cited person on this podcast so far without being on.
Yeah. Finally making the appearance.
Why don't you introduce yourself, buddy?
Hey guys, so you have probably heard my tag a million times. I am the apparently less elusive now, so many hoodies, but my name is Danny, so feel free to use that instead. Danimals, Danimal Crackers, any of those funny little Dangemin. Things use. Danjamin.
Oh yeah, I don't know about Danjamin.
Oh god. any of the many
Alexander,
things.
Alexander.
Any of the number Danime. Of things.
I can keep going.
Yeah, I know. You have an ever-changing
Porcus
list.
D'Annie.
I like Porcus D'Annie. I think that's my favorite.
Ryan and I made Nicholas names for Danny, and we just kept going. And I have a list on my phone now.
Doesn't it change every couple of weeks? Didn't you tell me you change the contact every so often?
Yeah, and that's why I have the list.
Gotta keep it fresh.
I can't remember what it is. Which is really sad, because my phone won't update it, so it always just says Danny.
Oh, that's fun.
Very upset.
Wow.
Damn. All that work, and what did it get you?
Well, when you, like, text me, it pops up. And then when, like, I open my... I don't know, it's stupid. I'll show you sometime. Anyway, we have Danny here because we're going to talk about a thing that Danny is way too familiar with, which is the weird intersection between cosplaying and ADHD, especially when it comes to prop builds, a thing that isn't my problem. Isn't that right, dear?
It is true. And I wonder what life would look like in a world where I didn't do props, you did props, and I did all of the sewing. That's now a thing that I'm just like ruminating
that
on.
That's the AU.
That's the AU.
That's the AU.
Because then I wouldn't have
like fan fiction out there.
Would I like prepare further in advance? I don't think so.
Yeah, you would, because you don't have ADHD.
I don't know if I would. I guess this is a bit of a learning experience for me.
I think it depends on if you started sewing before or after you met me.
Oh, that's probably
because
true.
You have looked at me on multiple occasions and gone, "You are my clock," and I looked at you and I go, "That's a horrible idea."
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you're doing that to yourself.
MJ sets my timelines for when a build starts, because if I see MJ start to get motivated, I'm like, "Oh, I guess it's creeping up, boys. Time to start." But, I think that having a fellow prop maker on here will be very interesting and educational.
I'm going to apologize to everyone right now. I have a cup full of ice.
Are you going to be crunching your ice? This came after you. Mike, oh my God.
MJ.
Last episode, you guys don't have a context for this, but MJ got mad at me because I decided to chew on a mint. I had like.
I gotta pay it back.
I gotta pay it forward, oh, dude. God. Poor audience.
You can mute it. I'll chew when I'm
You're making my job so much harder.
I'm making John's job so much harder.
Oh, man.
Shout out to John Good, the best of the best.
Oh, jeez. The editing team is crying. Just crying. Even worse than when Wing was popping up in the back. So.
Look, I looked at one of my professors the other day and told her that because the military said to keep me here for an extra year, I'm now your problem. And I think I said that when we got married. So I don't know how you didn't know this was coming.
I guess.
I mean, I am your problem for the most part. I'm quite literally in your phone as special nuisance.
No. Yes.
This is true. It's funny. I don't remember what it was. MJ sent me something and I was like, oh man, you know, any other person, this would be a real nuisance, but you know, you're just like my special nuisance. And I was like, actually, that works pretty well.
That's my contact name.
These are bars, actually.
We were not engaged or married. We were just dating. And he kept me around. So that's really his problem at that point. He saw the signs. The writing was on the wall.
Inherited problem. But anyways. All right. To bring it back, rein in the ADHD a little bit.
No, that's what this is about. What are you trying to happening here?
Wait, hold on.
It's Venmoing back and forth.
Cats.
Oh, no. I'm trying to herd them. And so I think a good starting point would be to kind of give the audience an idea of some things that you've worked on in the past and that you're proud of. So what would you say was like your biggest build and how did you go about it? What was like the timeline? Stuff like that, I guess.
Oh God. Okay. There's one that comes immediately to mind and I think it was my first one coming back. So I know you guys already know this, but the background is that I started cosplaying back when I was like 12 or 13 and I went to my first con at like 15 years old. And I only started doing props, big builds, like getting really into it after a huge hiatus for like 6 years, right? Like I started in COVID. I went back to cosplay and anime and like all the things that got bullied out of me in high school.
Gotta recorrect.
Bullied out of you.
Yeah, right? I was an insufferable nerd for like 2 years and then athletics got to me and I was like, well, I don't have time for both of these. I don't have sleep and I kind of need that. So I gave up on it for a little bit and then everything paused and I went, well, what do we do now? All right, boys, let's go back to the interest. So I went.
Huh.
And so the first one I did was my Hawkswings, the Hawkswings for My Hero Academia. So those guys.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So those are a pair of fully like functional, like they open. They are now much heavier than the initial like thing for them.
Yeah, because they don't open all the way.
They don't open all the way anymore. And it's because I put so many feathers on them. It was a grand total of about 28 hours.
What were the feathers made of?
They're like faux feathers.
Jeez.
Yeah, just like bags upon bags of feathers. Just like
red feathers everywhere.
Red feathers everywhere. And they are fully like true to an actual hawk's wings. Like I didn't just like shove a bunch of feathers on there. Like I like painstakingly was like sitting on my dorm floor, like crying over these wings as I burned my hand so many times. It took like 20 like little sticks of hot glue.
Oh, you have one of the tiny sticks?
I mean, it was like, it wasn't like the big long ones that I use now that are like, yeah, the like special cosplay glue. They were just like normal hot glue. And so I was like burning my hand, like
holding it in place. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like pressing these feathers down so that nothing else got stuck. And it took a grand total of 28 hours of active work.
Wow.
And like it was probably the biggest one to date and it definitely took me the longest.
That is the one thing that Ryan keeps looking at me and I like, can I have wings, Ryan? And Ryan is like, I'd rather die.
This is like my, you know, like Edna mode from Incredibles.
No capes.
No capes.
No wings. I will not do wings.
I will make you wings.
You'll make me wings because I look at King and I'm like, that man's a trek.
King?
Fuck.
Like King from One Piece.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll make you those. Those are your
I want armor.
I got you.
Those are the wings for the, they're like a seraphim or something.
Yeah, but they're giant and they're gray.
They're black.
They're black. Oh, they are black, yeah.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
That's infinitely easier. Yeah, I could do that.
It kind of is very cool looking. I can't lie. But I don't know. I guess because I know that I've never seen you wear the Hawk's wings. I don't think I've ever seen you cosplay. Okay. So I guess the question I have is, when do you, have you like retired them? Would you ever wear them again? Or
Yeah, they're currently retired because Katsu 2023 did an absolute number on them. Right. So they are currently in a state of disrepair. And I know MJ has seen them because I pulled them out a couple weeks ago. They are in rough shape. So there's just like bald patches where some of the like lighter feathers that were like more on the like inward side are just gone and need to be replaced. There are some of them that are hanging on for absolute dear life that just need to like go back. They need to be like reset. I need to make sure that the like structure of it is actually sound because there was it has taken quite a beating in many an artist alley. They're mainly retired for the fact that like Denja's Dress Up and I are far less interested in My Hero than we were. And she has always been the Hawks to my Mirko. So, yeah. So that's why you've never seen me wear them because it's usually Denja's Dress Up wearing them.
When we met back up at Katsu 2023, after not seeing each other for like a year and a half from just like ships in the night passing each other at cons. Danja does dress up was Hawks.
Yeah, it was like a rave version of it was a rave version of their outfits. But yeah,
and then the next day I think
that was the day we broke them. No, that was the day we broke them. So we did it like that.
We must have just seen you on the floor again. God damn it.
Yeah, no. So that was the day that they broke. We like it was windy as hell. And it was that one day. So so it was the Friday of Katsu because we were going to meet Anaris Kanonis. Yeah, it was. It's fucking wimby. Yeah. We like had brought this duo. You fully missed me as Mirko because I was Dobby in the morning. So I took the entirety of my Dobby makeup off.
Whoa. You did Dobby makeup and then you took it off?
Oh, yeah. So we did like a Hot Wings.
Let's go Hot Wings!
So I did Dobby. So there are some pictures. And that was my first time doing Dobby, like for realsies. So there are pictures of me with like liquid latex and everything on there. And I like literally pulled the staples off in a Nando's bathroom while we were waiting for our lunch.
We love that Nando's.
Shout out to Nando's.
Shout out to the one Nando's on the East Coast.
Hey, there are two of them. There's one in National Harbor, and there's one by Otakon. And you know how I know? Because I've been to both of them because I love Nando's.
Don't hate that Nando.
Dude, I forced Denja's Dress Up to walk like 6 blocks in blazing heat in her VV cosplay last year at Otakon because I was convinced. Yeah, I was very much convinced that the Nando's was a lot closer than it was.
And at that point, you had sunk too much into it.
Yeah, we had invested too far. We just had to go.
And I think that brings up a big question that I had for y'all as prop makers, which is like, Ryan, I've broken props you've made me.
That's true, yes.
And other people have broken the props you have made me.
Freddy Fazbear.
literally broke one!
Oh, yeah.
There was a
TikTok
on your page where we are Jean and Marco and I shove you too hard and so you like
tackle me
and I just fall over and you hear and you can't hear this in the
you
video
can hear it, but you can hear it
you can hear it you hear as all of this plastic shatters under my weight.
I can't believe it's been documented. It's so sad.
It's so documented. It's like you don't even need the original
the
audio of recording
this.
The only
thing you don't see is the actual look of terror on our face.
Yeah, as we like make eye contact. Yeah, right. We are not looking at each other as we land because I'm like trying not to like break my nose again
against my head.
Against MJ's skull.
I have no depth perception.
Yeah, MJ's got a MJ's in Marco with so like a burned out eye and an eye patch. So we like turn as we hear it, like the slow motion turn, and just oh no.
I think I looked at you and I went, Ryan's gonna be so pissed if he has to make this again.
I went, Ryan's gonna kill us. Ryan's gonna kill me.
I think,
but my question that I was alluding to is what is the biggest like frustration and also issue when props break? Because you've never gotten to do the Hawk swing. So, like, I feel like there has to be some kind of frustration of having being like, for me to get to wear this, I now have to basically completely remake this. And I think you hate Inuyasha now.
How many times have you made that sword now?
This is my... Well, because... All right. So the first one, I think, is an unfair call. Because the first time I made that sword, I was just like... It was like a test more than anything. To see like how big I wanted to get it. And the second one was the first real edition of that sword. The
third, that broke at Katsu.
That broke at Katsu. Then I made it a third time.
And that broke at AB.
That broke at AB. And then the fourth time was...
This one.
Is this the fourth edition then? It's not five then, right?
Did we ever wear Inuyasha?
No.
No, we didn't again.
We didn't because we were going to wear it to New York Comic Con, but you didn't want to have to print the sword again.
Yeah, and so now what I did was this version of the sword, I mean, you can see in the pictures, is a little stubby. It's nice and small. Looks like a big dagger. I kind of like it a lot.
It's called a short
sword. I think the...
Technicalities.
Is the question, what's the frustration with it?
Like, what's the biggest frustration? Yeah.
I think the frustration is... All right, well, I'll tell you, mine was very special and unique because I know I made it already. Like, I know that a lot of, like, the labor for me with, like, 3D printing is the model, right? Have I made this model before? And, like, I did make the model before. But like my computer got wiped when I lost my old computer. And so a lot of my frustration came from a place of, I don't want to do this again. I already made this. If I just had that file still, I could just go back, set it and then print it on two printers super fast and it would be over with. But because I had to retread like the same ground again, that made it so that I was like, I just don't want to. And that doesn't come from a neurodivergent place. That comes from like I'm just over it. Like, it's just the same thing again and again and again.
Especially since you've had to edit and modify that file so many times.
Yeah. And now part of me is like, well, I'm glad that this one was stronger, right? Cause it's like, you know, stubbier and whatever, and have a dowel in it. But like
dowels.
Yeah. Spine. It's nice to have a spine.
God bless spines and props.
Let's go. And so, but my thing is that like, there are still parts of it that I'm like, oh, I know I did this part better. I forgot how I did this because I had it so perfect on the last model, you know, and that's frustrating. So I wonder if you can relate to like this idea of retreading like lost ground, because sometimes you can build up a broken piece and you can like fix it. But a lot of the times for like my builds, like if it breaks, like
which kind of happened for our AOT gear.
Yeah. Like I could, the issue with the AOT gear was that, with all the layers of paint and primer and other stuff on it, if I tried to refuse...
I found a way to fix it, if you remember. I screwed it back together.
Oh, yeah. And that was great. And that like, made it last for, like, longer than it should have. But, like, altogether, though, like, it can't go back the same way that it was originally made. And that's... You just kind of have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, for me, the frustration is retreading. Okay. Definitely. How about you, Dan?
Yeah, no, for sure. The retreading is a big frustration, but I think my biggest one is like when it breaks in a place that isn't easily like fixable.
Yeah.
Or having to fix things on the fly. That is my least favorite thing when it's like we are actively wearing this cosplay and it's something you can't fix. Right. So the Hawk's wings broke while they were on Dandos Dresso's back. Like we were losing feathers as we were running to try and meet Anaris Kanonis. So like the dub voice of Mirko, we are desperately trying to get in her line and we are running from the car and there are feathers falling everywhere. We are trying our best. And I have the tiniest amount of super glue left. The idea of having to prepare to fix things on the fly is my worst nightmare. I hate doing that.
Yeah. So crazy enough, that's not something I think about ever.
You never think about how to fix. You think that if this breaks on the fly, we're fucked.
When I think about something breaking on the fly, the first thing I think about is, I was like, well, what are we doing with it? Right? Like, if Yoru broke, right, I would have been like, okay, well, what way can we put it together that you could take a picture with it? Because to me, right, a prop is only as good as the convention it goes to, right? I don't see props as, like, long-lasting entities, right? Yoru will make it as far as the next convention it goes to. Right. That's just how I've always looked at it. So if it makes it through,
you think of a lot of things.
So you're thinking of it in terms of like, if it's getting upgraded, it's getting done entirely over. You don't salvage anything from it.
I can't, sometimes I can, but a lot of the times I can't. Right.
Yeah.
Really, like, depends. If Yoru broke, like, okay. So say
it would
like,
depend on how it did. I guess.
Like, all right. The easiest break that like the sword would be salvageable is if the blade broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, exactly. That's selfish. Because you can save, like, the Tower, you can save the Hill, you can save everything.
Sure.
For, you have to replant.
Yeah.
Blade. And we might make it a little shorter if we do. But, like, that's that. But, like, if what happened was, like, it separated and then it fell and then it shattered.
Yeah, that's entirely different.
Right. Or, like, I'm imagining, like, if the Yoru has the handle guard, like, the gold part mm-hmm. of Yoru, if that was to break along, like, not along a seam,
yeah.
then there's, like, I can't partial print a model.
Yeah.
I also can't super, like, now with all of, like, the glue.
Because there's so much glue
and dowels and paint.
No,
and
I saw that.
It's completely, like, I can't, I have to scrap all of that, and I have to just remake the entire.
Because technically, Yoru is broken as right now. Yoru is broken. The ball.
Yeah, no.
The pommel on it is broken.
It's gone, off. Yeah.
And so Ryan just needs to reprint that. And we've talked about how to reprint that and make it more stable. And yeah, so we can salvage it for that.
Brilliant. MJ had a great idea.
Thank you, dear.
But yeah.
But like, that's the exception.
Yeah, that's most not of the typically. Time. So.
Like, right, so, Ryan has remade my cherry bracers at least twice.
Yeah.
Yours talk, don't they?
And I do talk, and I did all the voice recording for that's it, except for, like, one line.
Yeah, no, those are incredible.
Yeah.
Those are fantastic.
I'm a really big fan of them, but, like, a lot of the times I don't think about the ergonomics.
Yeah, so that's the issue that was going to be the next question, which is, how do you guys incorporate, like, wearability?
Before we get to that, though, yeah. I know that you wanted to comment on
that. Yeah, I think that, like, I think our different approach to, like, breakability of props and, like, durability, retaining pieces of them and, like, moving it over when you try to upgrade it very much speaks to the fact that we use different mediums for our props. So I don't 3D print at all. I don't have a 3D printer. If I 3D print anything ever in the future, it'll be because Ryan was gracious enough to, like, help me out with that.
Yeah.
Which he did do with all of our hangers.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And then, but I work mainly in EVA foam, like, foam clay, like, lighter woods, like.
Which is traditional prop building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I do a lot of the, like, I guess if you want to call it traditional prop building. So a lot of things is figuring out how to make it work without 3D printing and being able to, like, fix things on the fly. Feel like I have to because I want to keep it salvageable. So if something breaks, I want to either be able to put it back together. I've started taking process picks, not only because I want to eventually enter a competition, because at this point I've been back cosplaying for about almost four years now. And I've been going to cons regularly for at least three of them. And so I would love to be able to, like, showcase that. And maybe if I'm lucky, be able to, like, see some recognition for that in a competition. Like, that would be a dream. That would be so cool. Absolutely. I am, of course, in no way expecting that I would in any way be totally good at this, but, you know, I've started preparing for the inevitability of when I do enter a cosplay contest, and they are always going to want that build book. But it's also helpful for me to be able to put things back together if I remember how I did it in the first place.
Yeah.
When previously the way that I did it was very much that TikTok audio. That's like, don't ask me how I did it. I just did it. And it was hard. That was my approach. But then things break when you throw them together. And so, and I know MJ can attest to this because they've seen my room and how disorganized I am regularly, but my con bag.
I swear to God, one day I'm just going to go in there and clean it for you.
Oh God, charity cleaning of my room.
Ugh. It's not for you. It's for me. I can't keep going to your place. All I think is anxiety.
Me too. Me too.
Come in with like 20 by 30 bulletin boards to put up all your fucking pins that are sitting in trays.
No, Danny actually has more pins than MJ does, which is
Danny has so insane. Many more pins than I do, and they're all in little tiny trays.
Yeah, they're
just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, they're in a tray pile. I'm actually gonna get like a little thing to organize those, like a little, you know, those things they have for shoes, like you have it for your shoes with the like little layers of it, and you just, yeah, I'm gonna get one of those that goes desktop and just like put all my pins
you're
there.
You're gonna get a cork board.
No, because then another cork board fits it all, and I have posters, and I have sunk so much money in pins and posters. Everything needs to be displayed, and at this
why
point
put it on your door.
There's no room on my door.
What the fuck's on your door? I'll figure it out.
I have what's my tag, MJ? What's on the back of my door? Hoodies. There are so many of them. At this point, my closet is full of them.
What's crazy is that the back of like our like bedroom door also has so many hoodies on it.
Oh, the back of my closet door, yes.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, man.
But yeah, the
I'll fix it.
The most organized part of me is my con bag, because I have a little emergency kit for like, I have the little med pack with all of the like things that ail the body, but I also have the little like emergency kit for like, I have a hot glue pen that as long as I have an outlet, I can fix anything. Yeah, I found one.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so cool. Coolest thing I think I've ever bought for prop building. Like, it is so nice to have this, like, little pen that I can just detail things in there.
I was especially gonna say, with... Before I lose the thought, yeah, just go. For future thing, I found out, you know, like, the Ryobi drill that we have? They have, like, a battery pack, right, that makes it, that's, like, a basic, like, converter. And a basic inverter that does, like, AC power. And so you can walk around with just like the little Ryobi battery and then the little like inverter on it. And then you can just have AC power wherever you need to go.
Oh, like an outlet.
Yeah, like an outlet. You just get
That's
an outlet.
So cool.
You gain a portable outlet. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
We don't have enough pockets for that.
Well, we don't, but like that'd be good for like to take to a convention. I think that we could definitely get that.
No, what I'm saying is that means that I then have to start adding way more pockets to you.
But yeah, like the hot glue pen is probably the most like useful thing, but I like keep it with like all of the necessary things to like I have a little like box cutter in there. Like I have a little like knife in there. Like I don't bring it to every con. I have learned con security, where it will work and where it will not.
Okay,
but yeah, there's all kinds of little
check a skateboard.
God damn.
Shout out Kineticon for ruining my, cherry cosplay, but also making
also
us friends with, yeah, also not. We made friends with voice actors because we spent so long bitching about the fact that Kineticon security wouldn't let us
Bring
in with it
board.
That we like acted up. We ended up being friends with Kyle Phillips for a day. Like,
that's so fun. Shout out, real homie.
Yeah, real homie.
Yeah, other people brought in skateboards.
Oh, yeah, no. One of them. No, yeah. The problem was that they didn't go to prop check. Like, I tried to be an honest person. Yeah, I tried to be an honest person, and they also were, like, staring at me, and I felt the, like, three people sitting at the prop check table.
Your Carla was much bigger than my Carla.
Yeah, because I, like, literally bought a deck, custom cut it. Like, I made it to the actual specifications of, like...
Fucking nuts, man.
That one,
that's fucking
that was,
nuts.
Okay, that Carla was a nightmare. Carla was a nightmare. It needs to be upgraded. But wow. Yeah, I bring things because I want to salvage as much as I can at a con. If something breaks, if we just can't use it for pictures that day, cool. But I want to be able to like save as much as I can so that I don't have to rebuild that, because it's not reprinting for me. Like, it's actively having to go in and like go get these materials again and start from scratch. Like, starting from scratch means something different for you than it does for me because of the different materials we're using.
Yeah.
So I actively try to save it.
I was going to say, starting from scratch for me is like, I have the model, it exists, I just have to make it again. And I know how much time goes into the printing of a model because of like, you know, the way that the slicing programs work. So I'm like, this was a 19-hour build, right? With its, that's actually very generous. That's like super.
When was the last time we had a 19-hour build?
Bro, I will say, all right. So
Carla, was it my bracers?
No, each of those was 12.
Ah!
I was gonna say no. The Inuyasha sword all together on the Ender 5 mm-hmm. was probably 28, okay. Like 30-hour build. I think that's pretty reasonable.
I think one of the things that is now I'm realizing is like, as someone who does the sewing for not just like. Like, I've helped you with sewing stuff before, and I've helped you as well. And I make all of yours, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The thing that I'm realizing is, like, cosplay repair, for me, is so accessible. Because if I tear lace, or, like, with, like, what happened at AB, which was the strap ripped on yours backpack, like, back holster... I just walked downstairs and they fixed it for me.
That's true. I was
and they
say,
actually didn't fix it for me. They just had three sewing machines set up. But at RICC 2023, Freddie Fazbear broke
my back plate
for the first time that we were using Marco. And I walked up to cosplay repair and was like, hey, I have this 3D printed thing. And they couldn't.
They said, we can't do anything about that, really. And so we tried to glue it back together with what was just hot glue, right?
Hot glue and screws.
Damn. Yeah. We really threw like the entire fucking kitchen sink at it and it didn't matter.
No, we repaired that one. And then we repaired the other one. We repaired two.
We did?
Yeah.
Was it wearable for the rest of the day?
Yeah. The one with screws is the one that's still alive, I think.
God damn.
Is that the only one that survived? Is that the only one?
That's no, there's two that survived.
There's... Oh, yeah, because I have the other one.
Yours and Danda's dress-ups survived, but mine and Ryan's are dead.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, sorry, because I need mine fixed so that way I can do Marco with them one more time.
Are we doing one more?
One more. Got you it. Don't have to.
No, I won't. I'm that's sorry.
And I will. And I will.
It's just the way it is. Because
I've already moved it to the retired cosplays for you.
Yeah, I said it many times. I was like, I want to get this photo shoot at KatsuCon. And then now I'm content. And the pictures were good.
The pictures were great.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is it. That doesn't get much better than this for me. So anyways, I think that this brings up an interesting point, though. Two points, really. Mm-hmm. First one is about cosplay repair. For me, cosplay repair is kind of like a, let's see what we got. Like, who knows? I have no idea. Everybody's is different. Do you ever, like, try to scope it out on, like, the first day or so at a convention? Or do you just, like, hope you don't need it?
No, I always hope I don't need it. That's why I carry my own cosplay repair. But especially because there are cons that... While it's become way more widespread, there are still cons that don't have it.
True.
So we go to cons that don't have it.
Have like a guy though.
Yeah, I mean, there's always somebody.
Mom and dad.
Yeah, right. So Katsu didn't have an official cosplay repair. They had a guy who was very generously volunteering like his weekend and his supplies to fix everybody's cosplays. And he would like wander around, and I think they might have had more than one, but there was no official like cosplay repair for the con. Yeah. Meanwhile, there are other cons that have a really good one.
And that's kind of frustrating because Katsu is kind of known for, like, complex cosplays.
It's one of the big debut ones. So it took me a while to realize that there are, like, a couple of big cons where people debut their big builds that they've been working on for a while. If they're going to do something complex, they are setting a deadline for Katsu, for Otakon, for Anime NYC.
Yeah.
Cons like those that are going to be huge.
And that was normally because they were each, at least for the East Coast, because we're speaking as the East Coast. I know that Anime Expo in LA is another big one that a lot of people do when they're out on the West Coast, and Colossal Con Prime for those in the Midwest.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know that was in the Midwest. Okay.
Well, it's in Ohio.
I don't know
what Ohio counts as. I'm not good at geography.
No, it's definitely Midwest.
It is Midwest, yeah. No, you're right.
I just didn't realize that.
I don't like how we describe the U.S. Anyway, another point. But it also used to work because those three cons are in three different seasons. So you had Katsu in the winter, you had Oda in the summer, and then you had
a fall debut for Anime NYC. So
but they
had timelines.
But they fully merged that with Anime NYC getting moved to end of August.
It might not be a permanent thing. I know they said it was a trial run this year. That's the thing about this year's con season, is that it is so bunched up right now because everybody moved their cons to the summer.
Which was always kind of traditional for like most cons to have like between May and September.
Yeah, but now they're all like right in like July, August. Like it is July, August. And so you have no prep time in those. Like, I think my con schedule personally, because of the way that I have like scheduled mine, I know Danda's dress up is very similar with like one or two that are, I think, not in her rotation that are in mine. Possibles. I definitely don't know if I'm going to them. But like right now, the way that I am planning for it is that I will have like 3 or 4 weeks where I have a con every weekend, and then there's like a week off, and then there's 3 or 4 more weeks of con. Whoa. And they are just
I'm like in a similar boat because like we talked about this in a review of Anime Boston. It was like that was my last con until July because I have to go do military stuff. But while I'm doing military stuff, I don't really get a chance to work on things, and so I then have KinetiCon, and then 2 weeks later, we have Oda, and then a month. The advantage is that we might not be going to Anime NYC, and so we have a month off between that and CCE, and then it's done, and that's the end of the season.
That's crazy. And we're not going to do Rhode Island in, what, like November, right?
Rhode Island? Yeah, Rhode Island was so expensive for such a, like, I was checked out for that entire con. Yeah, I was checked out. It was just not fun. Like the big draw to Rhode Island, at least for me, was that they pull an insane voice actor list. And so the only reason that I initially went to it, no, they didn't. It's been getting worse. So I remember we met at Rhode Island Comic Con that like first year. We were line buddies. We like were stood in line for Justin Cook.
Yeah,
which is fine. We made friends because he makes friends. Like he's the coolest. He will make friends with everybody in his line. Like he makes a point of, I've met him a couple of times now, and he makes a point of like shaking hands with like, making friends with everybody in his line and making you feel like you are not, this is not just transactional.
I'm excited
We make line friends.
Yeah. I'm excited to meet Christopher Wickham again, because the last time you guys got to meet him, I was off at military stuff again. Yeah, no, line buddies are great, especially when you're meeting voice actors, but it is very frustrating to have some of those later year cons getting cut out.
And I think what's most frustrating for me is that I have a long list of cosplays that, like, I keep an active, like, a written list of all the cosplays. Like, as soon as I find a character that I find a compelling design for, I am immediately putting them down. But the problem is that a lot of the shows, if you want to go with a canon outfit, and I typically do, I prefer the canon outfits sometimes. I don't do huge, like, amounts of AU cosplays.
I think we've only ever done one.
I do like swimsuit AUs a lot because we go to CCE.
Actually, you've done a good amount. I don't know what you're talking about.
Three. I've done three.
You did Walk of Shame Cherry.
That's the third.
You did Walk of Shame Cherry. You also did the Gambit.
That's not an AU. That's a canon event.
What? I thought it wasn't in like the main timeline of whatever. It's literally another universe.
No, it isn't.
If it's in a timeline in the official thing, then it's technically canon.
But the Hellfire Gala is a canon event that is like one of the best events. Also, shout out to anyone that's been watching X-Men 97 for the fate of Gambit.
Oh, okay.
I might have cried.
Have you seen any of it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. I haven't.
I cried. Oh, my poor horny Cajun.
Oh, Jesus.
My fellow Cajun. My Cajun in arms.
My Cajun in arms, yeah.
All right, yeah. I have an interesting observation. You kind of brought up the idea of the con season being a little bit different now, more summer-based.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the summer, it makes me think about just, like, wearing like the big coat and kind of being like too warm, right? And that's something that I think about a lot. But then it got me thinking about cosplay stamina, which is something that I talked to you about a long time ago, which is that I think altogether, like you, Dan does dress up, and then us probably have the highest cosplay stamina that I've seen, which
is our friend group.
Of our friend group.
For sure.
Where it's like, we're willing to put up with a lot of abuse while wearing a cosplay just for the sake of going about like our convention. And I guess my question is, what sort of informs your, cosplay stamina? Like, is your comfortability like a very low factor in it? Or like, what are you trying to, I guess, make it through? Do you see like an end or?
I mean, a lot of the times it really depends on what the cosplay is. So I have a lot more stamina for a cosplay I'm wearing for the first time. So my Dellinger cosplay is not particularly comfortable. Okay. That is a long sleeve shirt, a pair of booty shorts, and high heels. And they are not like thick heels. Like they are tiny little spiky heels. And they are not particularly comfortable to walk in. But especially last year when I wore it for the first time, I
met the voice actor.
I did. I met the dub voice actor. I met Brandon McKinnis in it, and the reaction was absolutely worth it. But so that's the thing, is that the more you wear a cosplay, you have to have a reason to have this stamina, and your reason has to be a good one, and you have to anticipate needing it. So I was anticipating so the first time I wore it was specifically for Dellinger, was not the first time that I, like, it was not when I met the voice actor. I was supposed to meet the voice actor, and then he ended up getting sick and did not attend the con. And so I still wore it because we drove 8 hours. I didn't have a backup. I was like, yeah. I'm not rewearing. I was debuting a cosplay. I was like, it was just the resolve to be like, you know what? I planned on this. It didn't go how I planned, but I'm going to do it.
Damn.
So a lot of my cosplays, I will change my lineup for a con if a voice actor I want to meet is going to be there.
I fully related to that because I've seen how John Ward, the live action actor for Mihawk, has reacted when he meets people that are cosplaying as Mihawk, especially if they have Yoru, and I'm like, I fucking need this man so badly. I wanna show this man this giant sword and threaten to cut his chest open one-handed. I want it so badly.
Have they been to like any of the conventions here? In, like, the
I don't think they've made it East Coast.
They haven't made it East Coast yet because most East Coast cons are in the summer.
No kidding.
Okay. So I'm interested to see when the East Coast cons start releasing their... some of them have started
releasing... Connecticut has been very good about slowly releasing who's being at
the... I need to check because I don't follow their social media. If I followed every... If I follow all of the social media for all of the cons that I go to, I would be... I would not see any cosplay content. So my Instagram is full of mostly mutuals. Like, I have a... My account is full of people that I have met at cons and interacted with. But I also have a fair amount of people that, you know, like, I look up to, like anybody else does. I'm also following a ton of pin accounts. And then there's also, like, the biggest ones where it is mandatory for you to follow them to know who is going to be at the con, right? So, like, Anime NYC is one of the big ones that I follow because they release a newsletter, but I don't pay attention to it. Like, it's in my email, and I see something from Anime NYC, and I'm like, this is probably something you told us about 3 weeks ago on your Instagram, and I don't want to read it a third time. So I don't pay attention to that. I pay attention to their Instagram, because that's where they're like, hey, by the way, Bryce Papenbrook's coming back again. Like, this is how I found out that, guess what? Guess who's coming to Anime NYC this year? Matthew Mercer. Matthew Mercer is going to be there. And
they are requiring that you pre-purchase signatures.
Well, we know better now.
Yeah, right? You learn from it.
Make one mistake, move on. That is, but no, I think that that's a good reason to have, like, cosplay stamina. We have something to look forward to, like, I will meet this voice actor because I'm wearing this thing and I want them to see that. That will take you through a day.
I have a much weirder one, which is, it depends on how much I relate to and, like, feel empowered by the cosplay.
No, that's fair.
Ooh,
that's not weird. That's fair.
Because, like, I was the only one that stuck it out in, like, basically the full ODM gear. I'm like, nah, I feel so fucking
weird right now. MJ, it was very impressive how long
you kept on that
clunky-ass gear. And also the eye patch. I can't tell you how it feels, like, because that is when I realized that I have, like, of our, like, of the four of us who wore, like, the ODM gear at... What was it? KatsuCon this year. Yeah, I ran out of spoons extremely quickly.
You changed so quickly into just normal clothing.
Wasn't it just the three of us? Because Denda's dress up wore the Historia clothes.
Oh, that's correct.
That's a different kind of stamina there, because I would not have been able to last in that. I am constantly...
As the person who made that cloak, it's heavy as fuck.
No, but I'm constantly in awe of her also for, like, the dresses. Like, yeah. I could not wear a dress... The amount, like, she has such an incredible stamina for wearing, like, things that I would find incredibly cumbersome, and she finds a way around it. Like, she has, like, I love being at cons with her just because it's so fun to watch, and I'm just constantly, like, I don't know how she's moving this fast in this dress. She's in heels and a dress, and it's, like, a floor-length gown, and she is moving and keeping up with people in, like, boots and pants.
Y'all were so excited when I was dressed as Mihawk and couldn't walk quickly.
Oh, yes, because you move faster than any of us.
Yeah. MJ moves way too quickly.
MJ, we were all in heels.
I was going to say that Dender's dress up is crazy because she kind of never complains either. It's crazy. Like,
she has complained about her contact.
Her contacts and her wig. Sometimes she will get a wig headache, but she is such a trooper because she's the kind of person where she's like, I need 5 minutes to put some eye drops in and take a wig break. Or she's like, I need an Excedrin and
I think that might be the thing with me of it's like once the shit comes off. So I think it might be the training of being at Ren Fairs as a kid. Because I would corset, and when I was young and stupid, I would tight lace. And so in my brain, like, once it came off, it was off. And there was such a corset orgasm that came from, like, removing it.
That is foul, MJ.
They're literally called the corsetgasm.
Jesus Christ, man. That's fine.
No, but I think
but like the idea of, like, putting back on Mihawk's boots...
No,
absolutely not. Saturday, I was just like, I'm so angry. The world!
No, but I think that's also part of my planning is, like, I am also, once it's off kind of person. But I think my favorite game is seeing where I can use that to be a, like, to be a switch, especially, like, with Katsu. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to be uncomfortable in Jaune. I knew it was not going to be a comfortable cosplay.
It was
more comfortable than RICC. Yeah, it was way more comfortable.
Give me that.
Those updates were much needed. Thank you, guys. Because those made it so much easier. Dude, it was incredible. The amount of absolute tomfoolery that I was up to in that.
More intricate ODM gear.
That's true.
Animatonic, like, because they have wires that come down in the season for, like, on their arms.
Listen, I want to clarify that a lot of my motivation to do these, like, more complicated builds will come down to, like, it really does for me come down to, like, this, like, retreading. I hate retreading, like, old ground, and, like, because I made the ODM gear the same gear 4 times, I was like, I'm fucking done with this.
Yeah. But dear, I think another aspect of you having to do that is that was genuinely the first time you realized that matching my schedule doesn't work. Because kind of like that we've lightly touched on, Danny and I are neuro something.
Neuro spicy.
And I think a big part that comes with like these big builds is what is called con crunching, which is like forgetting that you have to plan out and like pace yourself. And instead you have less than a month to make 4 ODM suits with like very articulate strips. And you're using your own pattern with fabric that you've never worked with before. And all of a sudden it's the day of the con where you're supposed to be wearing this. And your one friend who has never actually come to your house that way they can get fitted for it properly is standing in the kitchen of this like a hotel that you're renting, as you sew them into these straps in the most like interpersonal way.
We got real close that day.
It was too intimate, dude. I am married to MJ, and I was like, this is a little too much, actually.
Fitting everyone for those straps is the most intimate I've ever been, and I feel so bad for everyone.
Dude, I was the most desensitized to that. Like, I was fully just like, I'm just here, man.
It was concerning for how desensitized, but I think that is a big thing of it's like ADHD fucks with your sense of time in like a, and I know what it does for sewing because like with sewing you can push through because the machine goes as fast as I want the machine to go, and also I can keep going in theory. Ryan would prefer I didn't sometimes, but like I can push myself. You have to wait for a printer.
Yeah, no, I can only move as fast as my printer can print.
I can only move as fast as my hands can go.
Move. I know, and that's why I respect Danny so much.
Dude, this is why the Vash arm was probably
the most... I was just about to bring that
up. So the Vash arm, so that was the way I... Like, if anyone asked me, like, what con crunching is, that would be my example. Not because it's a particularly good example of, like... Even a month to build, to like make things sounds like so much time to me because I make a lot of my props maybe 2 nights before. So for Anime NYC, we were sat on the floor of like Denda's Dress Up's parents' house while I made the spear for Katakuri. Okay, like I was making these the night before. Like I had done some little bits of prep work, but mm-hmm. it's so hard to have the motivation and the time at the same time.
Especially
to be able to
when you're like, when you look at it and you're like, it's so far away. Like I did that with Odette for KatsuCon. I was like, I don't have to work on this yet. It's so far away. And that's what had me having a mental breakdown over Mihawk's pants the first time when I like fully disintegrated and destroyed them. I think like another thing is that like doesn't get talked about is like when you have neurodivergencies, what ends up happening a lot of times is things that are unpleasurable are basically undoable.
Yeah.
But the thing that I keep thinking about is that, well, at least for me, when I know that like I can reach a deadline by doing it in like a really short period of time, I now have that information and it justifies my procrastination.
Yes. And that also does happen with like us, like on a level, I think. But I think the other problem is that it's like, I don't know about you, but a common thing that I found not only with myself, but with like clients sometimes is like that procrastination is just like anxiety inducing. There's no like, it'll be fine. No, yeah, entire time you're like, I can't believe I haven't fucking started this. Why haven't I started this yet? I really need to start this. When I get home today, I'm going to do this. And then you get home You're just tired.
Do you have, like, is the feeling that you feel, like...
It's dread.
It's really?
It's dread. It's this dread. Sinking feeling. Like, the amount of times I have made a schedule for myself, known that I have 3 weeks to get a bunch of cosplays done. And I have had an entire con weekend of debuting brand new cosplays, and they all require work for me. So I will break each cosplay down into tasks. And then sometimes even that's not enough, because I will break it down and I will make a schedule of, like, okay, this is what we're working on tonight. And then I will come home and I will know that I have a full 2 weeks and I have a day where I'm like, okay, I'm dedicating it to this. So, and that, like, loops back with the Vash thing, right? Like, I broke the Vash arm down into multiple pieces because I knew it would take multiple steps to get this thing done. I was like, okay, I have one full day just dedicated to putting the foam pieces together. I have one full, and so mine is EVA foam covered in fabric. It's covered in a stretchy fabric that I have, like, glued to it. So it's not painted, it's covered. And I knew that I would have to cover it, put it together, fit it to my body. And I knew that I had given myself enough time to do that and all of the other things. But I also looked at that schedule to see, like, I would check in and be like, what am I doing today? Because time sort of blurs together. The days blur together. And you're like, well, what is today's task? And then you look at it, and then you look 4 days from now and you see that you only have, like, you put the most generic thing on there. Like, I put, like, wig style for this wig, right? And that doesn't mean anything to me, because wigs are the bane of my existence. But I was like, okay, I have to, at least to me, like, mentally, I was like, I have to take this wig out of the bag and see what needs to happen to it to make it look remotely presentable.
Yeah.
And if you're not detailed enough, you end up doing the thing of, it's like, well, I can
put this off. Right.
I can do that enough. If that's such a nothing task, I can do that.
I think that what's crazy is that I'm just looking at this from, like, obviously the things that I'm building are different from the things that you guys work on. But for me, I know I can motivate myself when I start seeing, like, steady, like, small progress. So what I'll do is I take the easiest thing that I know that I can finish in, like, a day or two. And I do that first. And I'm like, all right, well, now I've started. And once, like, the wheel starts turning, I'm just like, oh, now I go. And
no,
I go,
it's until so easy. Done. You can wait.
But I don't know. For me, it's always the easy has to be
or
first.
Or the other thing, it was so easy, I can now take a break.
Oh, no. Nah.
Oh, it's suddenly 10 p.m.
When I...
Well, at least I got something done.
Dude, when I start my... When my ball starts rolling, it goes. It goes until, like...
Well, like, that's a hyperfixation for us, which is, like, have a Gatto debt done. But, like...
True facts.
Yeah, see, I...
That's different.
I have a lot of hurry up and wait with the different, like, set. So, like, I can't break projects down into, like, ways that easily show progress, right? Yeah. Like, it feels like I will have gotten a monumental task done and I will feel like I have done absolutely nothing, and it will be discouraging as hell to sit there and see them, like, right? So the Vash arm is, once again, one of the, like, banes of my existence as far as, like, being able to see progress. So I would have all of this cutting done. Like, I had everything sat there and I was like, this is an easy task. But I knew that doing it was going to, like, I had to break it down in ways where things still looked unfinished, right? So I would be like, okay, today I'm going to cut out all of the fabric and I'm going to cut all of the foam. And so I knew that I had all of these pieces, but because I see this, like, pile of foam scraps sitting on our living room floor and then, like, this pile of fabric and not pieces covered in fabric, I'm sitting, like, here thinking I have gotten nothing done. And it creates even more panic too, because then you're sitting there and you're like, shit, I got nothing done. I have so much more to do now because I just screwed myself over.
It's like disenfranchising.
I mean, for sewing, the first thing that you have to do for anything is, like, you have to find your pattern and then cut everything out. And for me, cutting is the bane of my existence, to the point where, like, when I trade skills with you guys, I don't ask you to make me things. I'm just like, I need you to cut out 40 feathers.
That was, oh my God, so many feathers.
The cut shop that is in our house.
I'm making ball gown level skirts. They're full, like, cloaks and things. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to, I just need you to cut out feathers for me.
Just cut the feathers.
Yeah, it was
cut out pieces. And everyone's like, is this helping enough? And I'm like, I don't think you understand.
Yeah, I quite literally traded putting the layer, like the Perona skirt. Like, I brought, there is no possible way to explain the amount of, like, this skirt was insane. And it would not have gotten done if MJ had not been, like, at this point, this is not a teaching experience.
this is a shut up and let me do this.
This is a I will trade you because at this no. This was
I gotta
so
show complex. You how to fix that because I think there's a thing that we need to do to fix it to make it look more accurate.
Okay. This is the Perona outfit we haven't seen yet, right?
No, this is the Perona outfit we have seen. Oh, we end like the show.
The
yes.
show we haven't seen yet.
The show we haven't seen. This is the yeah. one that
no. This is the time skip.
This is okay. time skip that they did at Katsu. Mm. We have to fix the skirt.
Okay.
It's too long.
It is too long.
Just funny because we already cut it.
See, here's why it's funny too. Is because I looked at you, MJ, and I said, "This is a little long, isn't it?" This mannequin set a little higher than me, and then we chopped a bunch off. And then you went, "You're wearing heels, right?" And I went, "Yeah, I'm wearing Demonias." But she still has her shoes peeking out, so it has to sit
and
at ankle level. And it still is too long.
I kept cutting it off.
Like
the cutting is the bane of your existence.
It is literally now safety pinned, courtesy of MJ's sister in our hotel room at Katsu. Just
good
like
Lord.
Pinning it up. Yeah, no, pinning it up because I didn't want
to. Just have to drop it off one day and I'll fix the whole damn thing.
I just didn't want to tell MJ that it was still too long.
And then I saw a safety pin and I was like, "You left the safety pin," and you just went, "No, I didn't."
Wait, you actually came to me about that. You were like, "Don't tell MJ." But
I looked at Ryan and I said, "We're going to have to pin this in the morning while it is on me. You cannot tell MJ. MJ cannot find out about this." And then MJ found out.
Anyway.
Because Danny, are you 5'4"?
I'm 5'4", yeah.
Okay, all right. And MJ's 5'6", and MJ's used to that. the small
height. I'm showing my mannequin!
Yeah, but it was still taller than me.
That's because I was accounting for the shoes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did not realize what size Demonias I bought, and I didn't realize that I thought I had taller Demonias. I thought they were going to be taller.
But yeah, no, like, I feel like a big problem is, like, that is the biggest hurdle for me a lot of times is getting started. Because I can sew together a jacket in 3 days, but it takes me 2 weeks to cut everything out. And that's if I'm real motivated.
And that's not because it takes you a long time to cut. It's just because you simply cannot, like, start that task.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
Not a fun task.
Yeah.
And, I don't look at, and I look at you the whole time and I go, "I need to cut things out today." And you're like, yeah, that's okay.
That is what I say. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Why are you asking me for permission?
Weird. And I'm like, I need you to hold me accountable to cut shit out today.
Yeah.
And that's also why, like, I never use patterns, because in my brain patterning is another thing I have to fucking cut out. And you first have to lay out all your fabric perfectly smooth, and then you have to pin the pattern down, and then you have to make sure everything's level and, like, smooth, and then you have to cut it out, and you have to make sure you're cutting out for seam allowance. And I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Is this asinine? I hate every step of this on all levels. How do I get it to stop?
And I feel you on that, because the amount of awful patterning for, like, wearable props. So, like, I know you, I don't know if you've even seen the pictures of it, but I used a prop that I made. I don't know how I made it. I cannot remember how I made it. I honestly, so you saw the cracker, like, pauldron that I had.
Yeah.
So I used that to pattern one for Basil Hawkins. I used one One Piece character to pattern for a different One Piece character. And it somehow it turned out even worse. And I was like, God, this is awful. But so patterning is also another, and I feel you on the pain of that, because, like, the idea of cutting this pattern and then having to cut this foam and then make it work, I'm just like, no,
especially if, like, for a lot of things, I find patterns on Mood Fabrics, like, which is a website. And you print them.
Shout out to everyone who makes patterns. Like, shout out
that's
to all of
crazy,
these, like, prop
right?
makers.
That's huge.
There are people who make, like, who have patterned these and then, like, cleaned it up. And so, like, about maybe a quarter of my props are ones that I just, like, pulled out of my ass, right? Like, swords, cool, easy. If it's a wearable prop, I am simply not doing that myself.
It's
I did cracker and I will not do
why
it.
Why I haven't done Thanatos yet.
I was going to say that for me, the equivalent
I tried making his, like, collar, like his neck collar, and I failed so hard. I'm like, this is fucking miserable.
And then that's discouraging too, when you, like, fail or it doesn't turn out the way you want. So if you do this on a deadline and you're like, God damn, like, I have started putting a backup cosplay into my rotation
mm-hmm.
for every con, because I've started getting used to the idea. Like, I have lost a lot of my motivation for some of these. where I've just been like, this build feels incredibly like insurmountable. Like I feel like I'm planning on doing Wolfwood, tri-stamp Wolfwood with his giant cross gun, the Punisher.
Crazy.
And I want to do it for Otacon.
Moving parts.
It has, yeah. And so, yeah. And so here's the little asterisk there is that I am also a perfectionist when it comes to my props, where it's like, I don't ever do props half-assed. Like I have shown up with like cosplay pieces that I'm wearing that are simply not finished, right? Like I did not finish drawing the pattern on Dellinger's shirt for Otacon. I just walked around with half of an arm with no pattern on it. I was like, cool, this is fine. But I will not show up with a prop that isn't finished because I want it to be a good one because, and that loops around to like, I'm not only a perfectionist, but I also love meeting voice actors for smaller characters. I'm like a side character collector at this point.
Oh my God, you really
think it's true.
I know that I'm not going to get
Rebecca.
Yeah, I like see a lot of people go to cons and they do their cosplays and they expect to get recognized because they know that their character they are like drawn to this character that people are going to recognize.
Yeah.
And people love, like, I think all of us as cosplayers, because we're all artists, we love to be seen and recognized and, like, have our hard work. Like, somebody being like,
recognize us like you recognize Mihawk. Don't recognize us like you recognize a bunny suit.
Yeah, right? No, yes, but, like, exactly. When people are like, oh my God, I love your Mihawk, like, that's a point of pride, right? Where you're, like, immediately, like, I am a performer now, right? Like, I love seeing other people that are like other fans, like when people saw me, they're like, oh shit, you're Baby Five. I was like, yes I am, oh my God. But I love, like, nothing will ever beat like the voice actors recognizing that they were like a minor character. Like Brandon McInnes looked at me walking up to his table and he went, holy shit, you're Dellinger. And then just kind of started like,
I love, he just started like laughing. Characters for voice actors.
Yeah, no, they get an absolute kick out of it. And I think that's what brings me some of the joy where it's like, if I know that the voice actor lineup for a con is going to suck, like there's no motivation for me to finish that build. And if I don't have the motivation to finish that build and to do it to the best of my ability, I am simply not going to finish it because it's like, it feels like wasted effort and like wasted effort to get motivated for it.
And I think that might be the thing of it's like, I choose characters exclusively that I relate to and I will wear them. I think that also goes back to the thing of you are much more willing to make a new character for or a new cosplay for more cons than I am. But that goes back to like time and relevant and like ability.
I think it's a different kind of like cosplay
ideology.
I was going to say what did you call it? Endurance earlier?
Oh, stamina.
Like, yeah, stamina. Like you have the stamina to wear the same cosplay over and over again because you don't get tired of the characters because you in some way relate to them.
Yeah.
I will relate to a character, but I have the stamina for wearing, like we have very different kinds of stamina. Like you can wear the same one a million times and not get bored. I'm now retired, like at least semi-retiring a couple of my most worn cosplays because I'm like, at this point, as much as I relate to them and I love them and I feel powerful and incredible in this cosplay, I have worn it too much and I don't want to wear it right now. Like I'm bored of it.
Yeah, and you've kind of gotten like your utility out of it. If you've like met a voice actor that was that character, then you're like, well, I've made the impression that I wanted to and I've had the interaction I wanted.
Yeah,
so right. I don't really need to do anything else with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like the thing that for me, if it's like, no, I wear this because I like playing dress up sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think of like Odette especially, and it's like, I'm never going to meet the lady that voices Barbie. But like, I would love to.
I'm going to get you a cameo, the lady talking to you.
That'd be so funny. Oh, it's like that, the Howard Hamlin, the One Piece. The One Piece is real.
But I'm like, no, but I don't wear that because I want to be the fucking Barbie Swan Lake. I want to be Odette. That was just like a childhood thing that I want. And I think that goes back to like my mom as like a person who sewed so much and that my grandmother as well. If it's like, oh, I had so many homemade dress up costumes. Like we had a dress up area in our basement and I was Belle and I was Cinderella and I was the Wicked Witch and I was a Power Ranger and I was a Teletubby and I was all these things that I wanted to. But because they were like made by my mom and my grandmother, they were made to a very high quality but very low volume.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's what you do. You make a thing that has so much detail that like every time someone sees it again, there's something else they pick up.
Interesting. Okay. That actually explains a lot about the process.
But I think going back to like that process of it's like those fucking mood fabric patterns is you print them out page by page on like traditional printer paper, and then you have to fucking tape them together.
Yeah.
And then you have to cut them out, and then you have to lay them down, and then you have to cut them out again. That is the thing of, I will have the stack of patterns sitting on our fireplace mantle for months.
Is there any better way to do it? Yeah. Or is that kind of it?
Okay. For sewing, no. For props, yes. I figured out. So there is.
What do you do for props?
Unless you go to like Staples and print them out big.
That's not expensive.
You just have to not do them out of foam is the thing, right? So Vash's gun, I printed out. Like somebody had a pattern for his exact gun, exactly as it is in Tri-Stamp. And I printed out. I paid for that pattern. I printed it out. I got it about 3/4 of the way taped together. And I said, this is, welcome to 10 minute power hour. I don't want to do this anymore. And I just proceeded to give up.
I'm saying, right? I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I proceeded to give up. And then I realized that there was like a shortcut that was like slightly different, but was like just as good, right? Like I looked at other cosplayers who, somebody that I'm mutuals with was like, hey, I bought a water gun at Target for $10 and I painted it silver and I used it for Vash. If you want to do that, here's the gun. And I was like, why did I think I wanted to do the like more, like I know I wanted to do it because I wanted the details, right? Like I know that the details are important to me. That's my favorite thing. I love being absolutely crazy with the details. But I also was like, I don't want to sit here for several hours just putting the pattern together before I then have to figure out and watch a video tutorial on how to do this, because it's going to take 8 times longer and it's not going to be rewarding.
And like, that's one of those things with sewing is there is no shortcut. Unless you're combining pre-existing things, like going to the thrift store and taking things apart and putting them back together and stuff like that, like where you're not actually doing all of the sewing.
We don't really do that.
That's because I have a very specific vision in my brain.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, but that is an interesting thing to think about because that could be pretty accessible for other people.
And it is. I know a lot of people that do.
Yeah.
And it's like a fundamental aspect of like a large part of like the cosplay community, but it's not something I can ever think of doing. And I think the other aspect that I think that I always go back to is, I do want to enter competitions, but it's really hard to enter competitions because I don't do any of the building myself. And so I would need to enter as like a couple or a group a lot of the time.
Or you would have to enter someone that doesn't have any props whatsoever.
Kind of like Odette.
Odette, but then she has her tiara. But I made the day tiara.
True. You did make the day tiara.
And I paint the necklace and I sew together the ribbon. So like, Odette is it. But think, like, I can't, even though like Mihawk is technically the one that I think I'm the proudest of so far. I can't enter Mihawk. I haven't done the sword.
I mean, Mihawk is more than just a sword.
He is the world's greatest swordsman, though.
Yes, I know, but...
Or, like, the AOT group is one that I want to enter, but
we would have to enter as a group.
But I would need you to enter, and I would need a Danda's dress-up to enter with me. Because they did their dress and their wig.
True.
And you need to enter with us, because you do our makeup.
Yeah, the SFX makeup.
It's truly the biggest culmination. Yeah, we didn't talk about
that. You're a trooper when it comes to the makeup. Both of you. Like, I have done different kinds of special effects makeup on both of you. Like, I've put rigid collodion on Ryan's face, and he's just, like, walked around with this. Yeah. And MJ had a combination. It took liquid latex, like, 4 layers of different colored powder.
So much.
And then a little bit of rigid collodion to top it all off for the Katsu one. And I am in absolute awe that you left that on as long as you did. And then you just ripped it off your face.
You just ripped it off.
MJ did not wait for me to come with the like collodion remover to like break down the collodion. MJ just went, nope.
I scrub. And we were all like, the latex, okay. And then I scrubbed my face with a washcloth.
It was nuts.
And I came out of the bathroom like and Ryan was like, your face is really red. And
you did like the American Psycho. It was awesome, dude.
But I think that goes back to, it's like, nah, everyone draws Marco with like all this gnarly fucking, like, unless he's the Warhammer type, and then he's normally fine. But everyone draws Marco like that, and I'm like, I feel like what everyone thinks Marco looks like. And I like that, even though everyone kept thinking I was Levi or Hanji.
Yeah, why did they go with Levi? That's a little strange.
Because he lost an eye.
Oh, yeah, but he was...
So if you... Yeah, like, he gets stitched up.
But he had the thing. Wasn't he always wearing the cape, though?
He does wear the cape.
He always wears the cape.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is that there are people that wear... Like I said, I've worn incomplete cosplays. Just because you don't have the cape doesn't mean that you're... Yeah, you're still recognized.
True.
Except me.
I don't know, man.
I met you.
He didn't make it past season one.
I was
17, and I'll never forgive him for that.
It was always a stretch. And here's the thing.
I did get recognized once.
The thing that I was going to say was that...
If I'd
with
worn the horse head, it would have gotten me more.
Damn.
I did not wear that horse head nearly
if you,
as much.
If you had, like, because we have that, it's just, like, a uniform, basically. And then, like, you could beat basically anybody.
Yeah, I could just change my wig.
Yeah, and you could be... John. Jean.
It's pronounced Jean.
I'm sorry, guys. I forgot.
Spell Jean. Stop! 18, 19, 20, 21, 22.
Nah.
It's too many.
No. You counted the finger guns. That doesn't count. The finger gun. No, we're at 21. The finger guns don't count.
God damn.
There is a deal with Danny that every time they do the fuckboy face that we posted to our Instagram page a while ago, that they owe me a shot, because I got so exasperated, because the second they got in Jean, within 5 seconds, they were just like...
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
Thank you, audio listeners. MJ just did it, too. Can we get that? That's three. Hey, yo, chat, clip that. Oh, man.
God.
So who gets shots when MJ does it?
Yeah, right? What's this?
I think it's you. I think it's you.
Just trying. Because
I'm just making shots for all of us when it's my turn. Like, I'm throwing shots out there for everyone.
I can't believe it. I'm now remembering what we were talking about last time, the pulled green tea versus white tea. Oh, my God. Danny was the one that put us on to the white tea. And we were like, this is just better.
And cheaper.
It's better in every way.
It's so better and cheaper. Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Because you don't need a high-quality vodka for a white tea shot to be good.
I also don't like Jameson.
Yeah, JMO is very... It's very hard to overpower the taste of it. So if you don't like whiskey, and you certainly... And you don't like Jameson specifically, you're going to be screwed drinking green tea.
Who needs Jamie?
Anyway.
Jameson.
So I've got a question, MJ. So yeah. Because both of us are intimately familiar with how awful it can be having that con crunch mentality, like, have you developed over the time any skills to, like, counter that, right? Like, do you have any ways of, like, tricking your brain into...
Are you asking the therapist if I know how to use ADHD?
How do you beat your own ADHD?
How do I beat ADHD?
You know how to do it for other people. How do you do it in a cosplay setting? Because I know I've sort of figured out ways to trick my brain into doing it. Oh, but what do you do?
Not as I do, motherfucker. How do I do it? Normally, I make Ryan bully me, whether he knows it or not.
Yeah, sometimes I do it very unknowingly. I guess
living with another person,
you can kind of be like, hey, so what is your thing today?
Yeah, and like Ryan will be like, so like Ryan's least favorite thing to do is try things on. And so he will come to me and be like, all right, I'm trying this on now. And I'm like, oh shit, that means I have to have it done by then. And then I'll do it. And I think the other thing is like, I macro dose on caffeine and start functioning like a normal person.
Okay.
A fun, deadly bit that I did is over the summer when I was working on comps, which is an exam you have to take as a PsyD student. What was my max? Four of them?
I know you had confirmed three, but then you started. You got through part of a fourth.
Yeah, so I had 3.5 of the large Panera Bread charged lemonades.
Oh my
god!
They're insane tolerance.
490 milligrams of caffeine.
No, they're 390 because it's 10 below the recommended dosing.
I thought that the 500 was our limit.
400.
400. Okay. All right. That's fair.
And it also said.
All right.
So someone out there, some listener, do that math. I did 3.5, probably 3.25 because I put green tea in.
You then started mixing the regular green tea in.
I probably had three full ones of 390 milligrams. And that just made me like a person.
I guess, Danny, does caffeine affect you like that? Or what does caffeine do for you?
I've sort of developed a little bit of a tolerance to it. So I have to have an insane amount of it for it to really do anything. So
eventually it just makes me sleepy as well.
That's incredible.
It'll just wake me up a little bit.
No, I'll have the it'll make my brain function like a normal person's brain. And then it'll just put me to bed. Like if I keep drinking caffeine or keep taking caffeine. I think the other thing that I've learned to do is... And it's good and bad, but, like, I reward myself with basic needs.
That is so bad.
Yeah.
That wow. Is, I'm going to say that's so bad.
How do you think
so
that's
bad.
Good? What part of that's good?
I powered through Mihawk's pants in less than a day.
Okay, just the crunch is what was good. It's like, what basic needs do you reward yourself with? Bro.
Sleep, stretching. Using the bathroom is a big one. I get to go pee after I do this.
Gotta be kidding.
Ooh, I do the go to bed
one. Have you ever noticed that I immediately have to run and pee right after I finish folding all the laundry?
No, I never noticed that.
Yeah, no, I don't get to go to the bathroom until I finish folding laundry.
It's like you make a deal with yourself.
Yeah.
And you can't forget to pee. That's one that you can't forget.
No.
Your body will not let you. So, body beats brain. Body beats brain on that one.
Yeah, and also food. Like, I eventually get to a point where it's like, oh, I haven't eaten in like 12 hours. Well, I can't eat until I finish these pants.
See, I don't. I will accidentally do that sometimes.
Disappointed.
I'm just. I've never noticed this. It's a.
I'm a little sad.
It's a little sad.
I'm sorry.
I never do it on purpose. I imagine. I do it by accident. I will get so into things and I'll be like, I didn't eat today.
I do that for things I enjoy, which I do enjoy sewing, but like when I'm con crunching, that's different.
Yeah.
To change the context a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I will sit there and be like, damn, I meant to go get a snack like 3 hours ago and suddenly it's 2 a.m. But I've also realized that like doing things later at night when I know that my focus is at its best when the rest of the world is like asleep. Like I have noticed
mine's the morning.
Whoa, I have noticed that doing things like that's why I film all of my TikToks at like
2 in the morning.
Yeah, I literally stayed up. So I cosplayed Dazai from Bungo Stray Dogs and proceeded to do three. He has more outfits than anyone else in that entire show. I swear to God. But he goes through so many costume changes and I did three separate versions of him.
Mm-hmm.
I was up till 7 a.m. because I started putting the cosplay on at like 11. And I know that from like 10 at night up until like 4 or 5 in the morning, I am going to be able to power through and get things done. The only thing is it can't be the night before we leave for a con because I'm driving and I am at the very least, I am starting driving. I cannot, I just simply will not wake up. It's why we're late to things.
I think the other thing is for me, a lot of times,
I literally said before he is his own warning. He is his own warning
tag. Horrible person.
I'm sorry. I looked up what Dazai looks like and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. So he has three main outfits. He has his like main trench one. Coat. Yeah. He has his, no, cause he wears a trench coat in two of them. So he has his main trench coat that is for like most of the series. And then he has his like dark era one, which is a different trench coat suit combo. And then the final season or like fourth or fifth. I don't want to say final season, but like the final one we have right now, he's in an entirely separate outfit, much simpler, but he changes like three times.
Damn.
Are you going to spoil it for yourself right now? Looking it up?
No, because I can't remember.
I like the dark era one.
Yeah, he
my inability
he ends up going he,
for me.
Basically
no,
he wears a prison outfit.
Experience it organically.
No, okay. I think the only other thing that I found is doing things for other people.
Yeah.
Ryan's cosplays always get done first.
I'm always more motivated to finish like things that I do for you or Dennis dress up.
No, that is something that you told me before and I was like, honestly, it might help that we've been doing a lot more group stuff then.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, you know, you will do it for say me, Danta's dress up, and Danny, but then you also have to do yours, otherwise it's not a full group. So you get lumped into the else, right? You're no longer a self costume. It's now an other
especially
costume.
Like that is like the easiest example is like, well, I'm already cutting shit out for Daniel. Might as well cut out Odette.
I'm already here.
I'm already on the floor.
I'm already here.
It's already
full. That's all that will get done today, but like it gets done.
Yeah, true.
Or your right. Perona skirt. The only reason I was so insistent is like, well, it's for you. I'm helping you.
Buddy.
I can make you held accountable.
Yeah.
Holding myself accountable is harder.
Having another person in the room is also helpful. Like, even if you're doing nothing, like,
we got so much shit done when you were over.
Dude.
There was a period of time when Danny was basically our roommate. every couple of days, Danny would pop over and it would just be like, all right, we're working on this. And like, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of great. You know, we get to hang out with friend Danny and like do stuff. No. They literally were cutting.
Ryan was like, why don't we go out and do things? I'm like, we're working on this cosplay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't
working.
Like,
he's like, yeah, but like, you'll take a break. I'm like, no.
No.
They kind of genuinely didn't take a break.
Yeah, no.
I dragged us out of the house at one point.
Yeah, it was not hanging out with my friends, Ryan and MJ. It was, MJ and I are walking back and forth screaming about the skirt or this pattern piece or
so
something.
So many ruffles.
The amount.
4 yards of ruffle is so much ruffle.
The amount.
In retrospect.
The absolute agony of every time that
the
gathering snapped. We would bring it out to try and give ourselves some hint of happiness by watching like the Barbie movies while we did this, because we knew it was going to be an hour plus process to get this done. And maybe 10 minutes in, I just look over, I just snap. Fuck.
And I'm just going. And Danny looks at me and goes, MJ. Yeah, what's up?
Because gathering is a manual activity, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can only do it.
No, there are gathering feet, but I've never gotten one to work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. We tried, and then MJ goes, you know what? We're doing this by hand.
Go sit
in front of the TV. We're putting on Barbie Swan Lake.
We're
done.
Oh, isn't that what you say when you rewatch One Piece for the 8 billionth time? I need Leflin photos.
Oh, man.
Screw you, Crunchyroll, for the fact that I now have to actually watch things over. I can't just like scroll to the point of seeing the character screenshot like I could on Funimation and then just like work with that.
What do you mean? What happened?
So Crunchyroll, for like licensing and stuff, doesn't let you take screenshots. Funimation didn't ever give you that problem.
Yeah.
So you could take, I have screenshots of cosplays that I just haven't finished, but that's especially difficult because of my side character thing, because you will maybe see this character once or twice for a couple of like a couple seconds, right?
Yeah,
you could see them for so little time, right? Like Dellinger, I had to rewatch the same episode, and at this point I think I could probably recite some of those lines back to you. I won't, because honestly, like, that voice kind of haunts my dreams. I can only imagine how it is to put Brandon McGinnis, but like that voice, like I simply cannot with some of these other characters that were in the, like, no, like the amount of watching I now have to do. Legato Blue Summers from Tri-Stamp is going to be hell, because he's in 4 minutes of the episode, of one episode, and you don't get any clear shots of his outfit. He is like silhouetted the only time you get his entire outfit.
He's an OG Tri-Stamp.
Yeah, except here's the thing, is that the design changed from 98 and Trimax, so his outfit is entirely different.
Damn.
So to be able to do the Tri-Stamp version of any of these characters, I am just going to have to sit there and obsessively watch Tri-Stamp over and over again.
Netflix now has a lot of One Piece. They have like
so much piece.
They have a giant gap.
Yeah, they have a massive gap.
Now we're at Egghead.
Yeah, they have like the end of Wano and Egghead, but they like miss from like a huge section of it.
Somebody did like a bit where they were like, people watching the end of Marineford, and then all of a sudden, who's this? What's going on? I guess the group got back together.
Dude, we're getting the band back together.
We're all here.
Venmo'd brain cell.
Well, we've now kind of reached the end of the show, which means that it's my favorite time of the show. Because Danny, you are our guest.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Therefore, you are hostage to these three questions.
Oh, jeez, you are hostage to my three questions, Danny.
Oh, my God.
You might have already said this at some point, but what is your dream cosplay build?
I have a couple of them.
Give me one.
I have one.
Ooh, making them
select. You know what? I'm going to give you one, because the other one is equal parts dream and nightmare. So,
that might be the next one, then.
It probably will be.
All right.
My dream cosplay right now is, as we know, the dogs have given me such brain rot. and I am obsessed with one Ryunosuke Akutagawa, and he has this full armor, And it is so much, it's just going to be strappy fabric. It is just going to have to be so many just like little strips of fabric.
And why haven't you done it?
Huh?
Why haven't you done it yet?
Because, first of all, because I finished this show like 3 weeks ago and have been like absolutely trying to get through any of the more... Where, Tiger? I've been trying to get through any of the like normal cosplays first because this one is like, you see it for like a... He has two like armor versions and I want to do either one of them. Okay. They're both fantastic and I cannot... I wore Octagawa for AB and I felt so powerful and so cool. And I was like, look, I look like a Victorian child dying of the plague, but like, I feel so good right now.
Okay. I was gonna say for audience who is uninitiated, we keep saying dogs. That means Bungo Stray Dogs. Cause I don't think we ever said that.
No.
All right. Just throw that out
and
there.
And I, when we were small, small children, had lived in a weird regional area of this country that impacted the way we say things.
Dogs.
Ryan has pointed out that Danny and I will say dogs the same.
And it's so this strange. Literally is just because
so
MJ
just
started
exaggerated it more and more.
MJ started referring to this after I mentioned Bungo Stray Dogs as a
like,
thing.
The dogs?
And goes the dogs. But it also started because when I started noticing the like Bungo cosplayers at cons, I started chanting dogs. much to the disappointment of Danda's dress up because she thought I was talking about somebody had like a service dog or something.
Oh my god.
So we had to differentiate where I was like, no. I'm so sorry.
Puppy.
I'm so sorry.
That's a puppy.
Is an actual puppy. Dog. Dogs. Means I saw the hunting dogs.
The only... I would love to do Poe.
He's so sad and gay, and I want to do him so bad.
He whimpers.
That man absolutely whimpers.
And he looks...
Canonically, does he whimper?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he does.
That's incredible.
He, like, walks in to the ADA. He just goes... like, holding books, and he goes... Rom, are you sure I can be here?
Yeah, he
was. And Rom was like, yeah, fine, whatever, even that shit.
And then walks away.
Oh, God, MJ.
Yeah,
MJ. You just maxed out our audio again.
Great.
MJ.
Like, Rombo, I wrote this special little mystery just for you. And Rom was like, that was great, keep going, babe.
But we're rivals.
We're rivals. Named Carl.
Yeah, he's a raccoon. I love him more than life. Yeah, he's a pet raccoon named Carl, which is supposed to be a reference to the actual Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh shit!
He didn't have a raccoon. He had a cat. He had a black cat.
I was gonna say,
was that his name? I'm hoping so because that would be really fun.
I gotta watch Dogs. At this point, I'm the only person in like our
Katarina
that hasn't.
I hate that.
He named his cat Katarina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Ryan's the only one in the immediate friend group that I have not convinced to watch or read Bungo Stray Dogs at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because Mochoppy has...
Now is more on the updates than I am. So the manga is not finished. Crazy. The reason we don't have any more anime than we do is because the anime is caught up to the manga.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's only two chapters that have released that are not animated. So I literally got a text at the beginning of this month from Mochoppy being like, new chapter dropped. Have you seen it yet? And then when I was like, no, immediate link. Immediately linked.
Wow. All right. What's your nightmare cosplay, Dylan?
Oh, God. Eustace Kidd.
Really?
Useless Mid!
Like you've already done a Useless Mid.
No, so I have, but I took the easy way out. So I did it for Kineticon last year, but I wrapped my arm in bandages and called it the Wano version.
Oh, you called it a day?
Yeah.
Oh, because down arm,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so he... In his time skip design, because first of all, he doesn't wear a shirt pre-time skip. And I was like, yes. I refuse to do this. Like, I have done cosplays and I prefer to do a more mask version of cosplays. If it's a like guy character, I'm going to bind and, you know, do the masculine contour and all of that. Cause that's, I feel comfortable and I really like doing that.
And your makeup's phenomenal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Hulk. Sorry, you got a kind of a Hulk fist.
Oh, yeah, no. So here's the thing. Is there are people that have done the pattern for his time skip arm, and they've done it out of cardboard. And there's somebody who even has it, like, articulated so that you can, like, they have, like, strings in the fingers and it's the strings like attached to your hand, so you can make the fingers move. The problem is that I have been sitting here wanting to do this cosplay for years, and I have been thinking of how to do this. I have three separate figures of Eustace Kidd that I literally detached his arm from the figure before Kineticon last year, trying to build this arm, and I got so little done in it and was so discouraged by how I was like, this is, I can't do this. But I just gave up and wrapped my arm and said, you know what? I'm in Wano. He doesn't have the metal arm. He's just armless here. I can't take my arm off. And honestly, even if I could, I wouldn't. So I'm just going to wrap my arm. Did his voice actor, Justin Cook, think it was cool enough anyway? Yeah, absolutely. I was totally fine with it. But I do want to eventually do the full thing with his massive arm because it's so stupid, but it has been the bane of my existence for... I've had like three failed attempts at this. And at this point, like, it's a nightmare, but also a dream cosplay. Like, I want it to be done, but I, God, do I not want to do it.
I got you. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, don't fight Shanks is kind of the rule.
That's apparently that is the rule.
Don't fight Shanks.
We've like...
Mihawk is like, my husband and my dad are here. Nah, fuck this.
He literally looked at the rest of them and was like, I am not going to be doing that. So I recommend you don't be there.
He really
said... Mihawk is like, look at me. Look at me. Look at what I can do. I'm saying no. You bitches!
You do what you want.
Do what you want, but don't stand a chance.
I said I would stop Whitebeard, and I did that. I'm leaving.
Mihawk noped the fuck out there and said, I am not doing this.
That's fantastic.
And speaking of the anime character I wish I could be, Danny.
Yes.
Who is your favorite big, dumb, titted up anime man? I need you to know, Gray's response was Joe. Ryan's is Broly.
Broly's good.
No, mine is Gambit.
I'm sticking with it.
The Raging Cajun. Who is your favorite big, massive muscle that has no brain cells?
I'm cheating because one's hyperfixation and one is overall. The overall pick is Ace. Porcus D. Ace has...
Porcus D. Ace has...
If I did not say Ace for that at least a little bit, I would be a dishonor to my Ace tattoo. Like I have so much
solid
Ace.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. That man has bigger tits than me, for sure.
I love that canonically Zoro has a bigger chest than Nami.
Yeah,
it's 103 centimeters around.
Of anybody who is like normal human size, Zoro has the biggest chest. Canonically. Like not counting like the people who are like 10 and a half feet tall. Like not counting like King.
When did he come out and say that?
There was an SBS. Yeah. There was an SBS where he literally gave their
measurements. Someone's like, if Zoro was like, was chest compared to Nami, who would be bigger? And he would stroke Zoro. His chest is 103 centimeters. And that was the end of the sentence. And next question. And everyone's like, you choose which questions you answer, sir.
Who would win in a fight?
He also Zoro answered or Sanji?
Oh, that's a weird way you said that, actually.
No, you said a penis contest.
Anyways, does not answer.
He answered the one about Buggy being able to detach his dick, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I don't know why this man is an absolute...
Why do the tits keep getting bigger? Like drone tits.
It's fun.
But the hyperfixation one is Wolfwood. Wolfwood has no brain cells, and I love that man.
Is he big and titted up?
Yes, he is. His shirt literally cannot contain his tits. Maybe look at that man and tell me.
Is it not? Is that in Stampede?
In both of them.
He gets thinner. Everyone kind of gets thinner.
Everyone gets twinkified by Stampede.
But that's everyone gets twinkified, but everyone also gets...
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, yeah. It's a prequel. It's a prequel.
In 98, everyone's like, just like, they're drawn skinnier. Okay. Their lower half, they're all more Dorito.
They all have, like,
they're all, like, tiny, thin. Yeah.
They all are Dorito built. I need you to look up Wolfwood in 98 because that man is massive and his shirt cannot contain the tits. He doesn't have a brain cell.
The amount of times
he goes, hell if I know.
Danny kind of onto it. Yeah, look.
No, I know. I've watched it.
Oh, you have? You've seen 98?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's good.
I like this outfit a lot.
Does he have tits? Yes. Does he have a brain? Absolutely not. Does he have a plan? Hell no. Who do you think he is?
Wait. He will pray for you, though, and charge you for it.
And he will do a terrible job.
Who's this guy? Blondie.
Oh, that's a girl.
That's Millie. I think that's Millie.
That is Millie.
I haven't seen 98, so that's best guess.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's not Millie. That's someone else.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Anyways.
I don't remember. I'm also looking at it from
across the room. It's not Livio, is it?
It might be. Livia was big. What the hell did they do to him?
Poor guy, big.
He's a sad little twink in Tri-Stamp.
He's a sad little twink.
I'm telling you, that was
Nimes
that was
is a sad little twink in Tri-Stamp.
That's another one. I refuse. That's going to make me so... when I eventually do Blanky Hoodie, I am going to be so angry at myself.
Blanky Hoodie.
His stupid Nimes.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to another wonderful episode of Cosplay Con Crunch, a podcast about cosplaying and everything. I've been your host, MJ. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok as cosplay_Cajun. Danny, what are your pluggables?
I have an Instagram and a TikTok. I have not been great about posting, but I'm getting better. They are both so many hoodies because there are so many of them.
A lot of hoodies. And I, as always, am Ryan. You can find me on Instagram if you'd like as
RightJoyConRye.
And this podcast has been part of the Rocktopus Network. If you would like to listen to any more podcasts made by us in our network, you can head on over to rocktopus.com. We have other great podcasts such as Eric Hayes' Dragon Ball Z, where two good friends try to convince their third friend to like Dragon Ball Z. Danny, you're next.
God. Oh, that's a threat.
You have. It is a threat and a promise.
Eventually, I promise.
Then you have Tales of Nowhere, tabletop RPG game. Played through multiple different games and systems and worlds with the same colorful cast of characters. And last, we have Halloween Nation for all your spooky stories outside the month of October. Thank you so much. Have a great time, and we'll see you next time.